Today on Real Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have our culture. You'll pick today. We have our culture that says, nope, this is what it means. This is marriage and this is the definition. And I understand what I'm hearing today, that God's definition is over here. You're going to pick one. In the end, before God, only his definition will stand.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series taken from chapter 7. It's called God, Marriage, and Divorce. The Apostle Paul explains the worldview on marriage just the way the Almighty intended it. He then goes on to explain the benefits of being married or remaining single and how God can use believers in both situations. In the section we're focusing on today, we learn why it is the will of God for married couples to remain married. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called God, Marriage, and Divorce: The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home.
Because it's a spiritual union, marriage is. And we're Christians in this context. We're in church. And there's no wiggle room for this. Now listen, let me make this very clear. If you visit this church today and don't come back because the message upsets you, you're going to be missing out on the whole picture in the next few weeks. Because in the next few weeks, Paul is going to say that there are areas, there are situations. Jesus said it for one thing. Jesus said, if there is in the mix of your marriage adultery, then that is grounds for divorce. We'll talk about that later. Also, Paul's going to say that if your spouse dies, you're free to marry again, but only a believer. He goes on to say, and some scholars will argue back and forth with this, it's in our text today, is that if the non-believer that you're married to divorces you, then you're free, some will say, you're free to remarry, but only in the Lord. Some will say, some great scholars say, no, and I personally don't agree with this one, that if a non-believer says to you, the believer, I'm out of here. You drive me nuts with your Jesus stuff. I can't take it anymore. And listen, Christian, you've done everything. Are you listening? You've done everything you can to keep that marriage together. You didn't help her get out. Are you with me? Mm-hmm, because this is the stuff that comes out in counseling. Mm-hmm. You didn't help push them out. Like you didn't create as a Christian your marriage as a living hell and drove them away and then say, look, I'm free. He left me. You can't do that. God knows. Remember how he said, you'll stand before God on that dreaded day who he'll know the intents and reasons of all hearts. Think of it. This is serious stuff. Man, this is boot camp. This is, we're like one-on-one in a marriage counseling session here right now. What is your intent? What is your motive? Paul will speak to us about these things. But there's no wiggle room here. This is what the Bible says. Based on what, Jack? That's radical. No, it's not radical if you divorce yourself from the culture and marry yourself to the will of God. Because again, he's the inventor of marriage. And this is very important. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 31, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, that was the practice of the day. But verse 32, but I say to you, that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced in the same context, knowing about her adulterous situation, he says, commits adultery. This is serious stuff. Jesus, and here's the amazing thing. You said, well, Pastor, I'm sitting here right now with my husband, and years ago there was adultery in our relationship, but we made it through. We made, That's perfect. I haven't gotten to that part yet. That is, listen, because some of you in a crowd this size, some of you hear, oh, what? Oh, my husband? Oh, my wife? Listen. This is a big deal. I'm going through a situation with a couple right now regarding this. 7 years ago, she cheated on me. But we made it work. And now he wants out. So I asked him, what's your girlfriend's name? What? I said, wait. 7 years ago, your wife cheated on you, but you guys reconciled, which is God's number one plan. Did you know that? God's number one plan, if there's adultery, is not divorce. Did you know that? Can someone say amen? Amen. I want to hear it louder. God's plan is not divorce. Yeah, but she committed adultery, so I've got to divorce them. No. God's first plan is reconciliation. Making up, getting it to work. And so when somebody comes along and says, well, you know, we have marital problems, it's a big issue. Well, what's the deal? And you start to dig deeper and you get below the surface. Well, she cheated on me 7 years ago. What does that have to do with anything? Well, I don't want to be married to her anymore. Wait. You guys have been doing fine for 7 years, and now you don't want to be married to her anymore. And you're saying you have to get out of the relationship because she cheated on you 7 years ago. Are you hearing me? Here's what I'll say every time is, what's your girlfriend's name? Or what's your boyfriend's name? And they're appalled. Oh, I can't believe I'm leaving. I'm out of this meeting. I can't take it. Oh my goodness. Guilt like you can't believe. There will always be an ungodly reason why you're going to pursue that path. Now, it may be that reconciliation has been exhausted in the context of adultery. God has made a place for that. In Malachi chapter 2, we may not get past this one verse right here. In Malachi chapter 2, church, jot it down. This is heavy stuff. Malachi 2. It's almost 3,000 years old. Malachi 2, verse 14. By the way, let me set the stage. The Israelites, listen, had gotten away from following God. And they began to marry women of pagan religions. And they were mixed. And God said, don't do that. And they did it anyway. And they had, for example, Israelites. They were Hebrews, and they were marrying Babylonians that worshiped 360 gods. Solomon did that, didn't he? Ruined his empire. That's the setting. God says, I'm upset with you. Yet you say, look at verse 14, yet you say, for what reason? Hey, God, why are you upset? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth. These guys were leaving their wives for other women. And God says, I'm a witness to it. With whom you have dealt treacherously. The word means to rob them. You are, by you pursuing other women or other men in your life, husband or wife, you have robbed your spouse. The word is powerful. It means that you've brought them to the place of being pillaged or abandoned. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Ooh, that's why I showed you guys the clip while they were reciting the vows. I mean, let's be honest. Do you remember your vows? I remember the vows because I give vows. I do vows. I marry people. So I know them. But do you remember the actual day and how you said it? I don't. But I do the general structure of it. You might have to review your video. Your VHS. And say, hey, look, we have our vows on tape. And you listen to it. Because chances are you don't remember. You were so nervous. You were so excited. Right? God says, hello. Church, listen. He says, I'm listening. I was there. I believed you. God says, I took those words seriously. And so he says, this is now the wife or the husband of your covenant, the word of your promise. Verse 15, Malachi 2. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the spirit? Meaning, isn't God in the spiritual mix of this? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife, or insert husband, of their youth, the one to whom they made the promise. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates putting away or divorce. God says, I hate divorce. Listen, the word hate right here in Hebrew means, God says this. God says, divorce or putting away your spouse, the word he uses for hate, is my enemy. God says this. God says when a marriage on unbiblical terms splits, God says it rips the flesh apart and leaves gaping holes in their lives. And God says, I hate my enemy. God's not saying that he hates those who got the divorce. God is saying that divorce is his enemy. God says, I love you, and I love the institution of marriage, and I know that it works the way I intended it when I am in the middle of it. That when divorce or putting away to make one destitute or to take your wife and say, I don't want you anymore. I'm done with you. I found a newer model. I found a younger version of what you once were. Or listen, dude, you didn't measure up to what I had hoped by this time in life, and I'm leaving you for a guy that's more successful. He's got more money. He's got a bigger house, got a more secure job. God says, that divorce, putting away, is my enemy. God, you don't think of God having enemies because he's God. Who can challenge God? Satan can't. He's God. And yet you and I have been created in the image of God, and God says, this is what I hate. That which pulls two people apart. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our culture. You'll pick today. We have our culture that says, nope, this is what it means. This is marriage, and this is the definition. And I understand what I'm hearing today, that God's definition is over here. You're going to pick one. In the end, before God, only his definition will stand. Now, I understand that you may have emotions going now. You have questions. I'm going to ask you, write them down and wait. See what God says. See what God speaks. Let's understand this right now. There is no perfect marriage. You say, well, wait a minute. If you and Lisa prayed, you guys were both Christians before you met. This is true. I'll go so far to say this. Her and I prayed constantly, and we actually asked the Lord, Lord, if we're not to be together, you let us know clearly. We spent time away from each other to pray, to seek the Lord regarding that. We had godly friends who were instructing us in how to seek the Lord in this area. Been married 32 years and a couple months. So, whoa, isn't that a happy in the ministry now? Wow, for 20 years out of those 32 years, 20 years of ministry. Listen, 20 years of ministry means our marriage was under attack more than the normal marriage. Especially if God's using the Christian today, you can be as ugly as sin itself, but God will make sure that your marriage is brought under attack. Pressures, concerns, cares. I think of my own life in the ministry when we were starting churches in Russia. Some of you, many of you were here at that time when I would speak to you on Sunday, and then I would be, by Monday morning, I would be in Russia. We would be on the streets preaching, starting churches, and on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., I would take the Lufthansa flight from St. Petersburg, Russia, and fly to Los Angeles, and I would be here for Sunday morning service, and I would do it all over again. Why? You know what? Why? Listen. Why? We're doing the will of God. He's opening up the doors. We're starting churches in Russia. People are getting saved. We've got to install pastors in these churches. By the way, those churches are still there today. And oh my, isn't that fantastic? If I'm doing all that, then surely God will take care of my home. Guess what the answer to that is? The answer to that is no. That shocked me. I didn't know that. I thought if I was doing exactly what the Bible, I'm supposed to be like Paul. I'm supposed to be starting churches. I'm supposed to be doing this. People are getting saved. I flew 250,000 miles in 1 year. You know who paid the price? There's a 3-year period of time when I don't even remember my kids growing up. I barely saw Lisa. All the while thinking I'm doing the will of God. What shall it profit a man if he gain the entire nation and have a church full of thousands of people and lose his own wife and lose his own family? Huh? Think of that. The greatest thing that you can do, and you'll hear this from me over and over again, is to invest in your marriage now. Work hard at it. My wife drives me nuts. Listen, you drive her nuts too. And let me tell you something. Oh, the grass is greener on the other side. You want to know why? You don't know what it's like to mow the grass on the other side yet. I just made that up. Did you like that? Thank you, Lord. Think of it for a moment. I'm an old guy. I remember this. You're going to hate me for this. I remember when divorce in California and America was, I knew a friend in high school, a junior high, whose parents got a divorce, and we were shocked. Because back in those days, people wrote it out, they made it work, and sometimes, listen, I stayed in the marriage for the kids. I hear that. I understand that. That's not a bad thing. What you need, though, if that's where you're at this morning, what you need is the infusion of a church family and the Word of God and prayer and support and instruction. Do you understand something? Listen, your wife may be an absolute scumball, and your husband may be an absolute scumball. God says, listen, I'm committed and devoted to getting your marriage on track. And in the next couple weeks, we'll come to situations, hypothetical, some of them I'll change the names to protect the guilty. And you'll say, oh my goodness, that applies to my life. And will you allow me this luxury? Let's forget that we're in a traditional church setting. And let's just talk Bible, okay? Let's see, because if we will receive God's word, there's great healing. And I can tell you that with Lisa and I, there were ups and downs, challenging times, fantastic times, times when it's like, oh my gosh, who is this person I married? You say, no, not you guys. Listen, no one is exempt from the dynamics of marriage. Marriage is amazing. You say, it's amazing. You don't make it sound like it's amazing. It's because I didn't get to my study yet. It's amazing. It's a spiritual union and the power and the satisfaction and the joy. Listen, you guys, I got to tell you. I sound so Jewish there for a second. I've got to tell. I'm telling you. God is able to cause your marriage to flourish and to prosper. And if you're here today and you're saying, not mine, I can never forgive him. I could never forgive her. Guess what? You're the one in line for the greatest blessing of all. Will you allow my God to overwhelm you? You see, that's not possible. And I know down deep inside you have justifiable hurts. Those are the ones that hurt the most, the justifiable ones. She hurt me. I caught her. I caught him. Justifiable hurts. That means they can stand up in the court of law. It's true. You were hurt. No one's denying that. Those are the hurts that hurt the most because they're real. And God says, if you give me that, I will do a miracle in your life. Don't you want to see God do a miracle? Last Sunday, a couple came up to me. It was so cute because they almost ran me over physically. And they were beaming. Well, when I gave the altar call last Sunday, they came. They came with the group and they came outside and I met them outside and they're just like this and they're hugging each other like, and wow, what's up? Our divorce was to be final. But we started coming here. We started listening. And today, they said, we're dedicating our lives to the Lord and we're dedicating our marriage to the Lord. Now watch this. They're all excited. I got all excited. And behind me, at the New Believers, at the New Beginnings table, there were about five young high school, college girls at the computer centers, right? They're watching. I greet this couple. How are you? Awesome. Great to hear you. Just made my day. God bless you. See you later. And they walked away and I turned and I said, girls, come here, come here. And I got those girls together and I said, listen, you see that couple walking away right there? See that? You need to know this. Because I know what your culture teaches. Your culture teaches marriage is bad. Marriage is not good. And I said, there's a couple who did marriage the world's way and had a divorce date. Then they decided to do it God's way, and they just rededicated their lives and their marriage to the Lord. I said, girls, listen. You never, never, never forget this, ever, young ladies. Because God can do anything in your marriage.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul explains how and why it is the will of God for married couples to remain married. The title of today's study, God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look through this New Testament letter written by Paul, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just remember that this series is available for you on DVD. In fact, why don't you get that pen and paper ready, because I've got some info for you. We've got a terrific offer. First, we'd just like to remind you about our brand new television program. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Monday nights at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. It's a great show. It features Pastor Jack dealing with today's issues from a scriptural worldview and how the believer is to handle and confront them. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Visit hischannel.com Monday nights at 7 o'clock. Just click on the live TV stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. All right. If you're interested in this four-part series called God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home, here's our offer for you, and it's a good one. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this four-part DVD series. Now, you can call, click, or write, whichever you'd like to do. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button on the right there that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Or you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, write to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.